chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may have in the middle of it. Grass may have in the middle. We are grass may have.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. There's a lot going on in the United States, America, the beautiful, this week. We've had a shakeup in the Pentagon, and here's Maria Bartiromo interviewing General Keane about the shakeup and how that has impacted the Pentagon. And then I'll give you some of my commentary and some of my opinions. Here we go with Maria Bartiromo.
Shakeup at the Pentagon, three top senior officials resigning on Tuesday following President Trump's firing of Defense Secretary Mark Esper. Joining me right now is retired four-star general, Fox News senior strategic analyst, General Jack Keane. And General, it's always a pleasure to see you, but of course, even more special on this day. I want to start by thanking you for your incredible service to our great country on this Veterans Day, sir.
Oh, thank you, Maria, and thank you for the service of all of our veterans who, you know, fought to establish the country, to preserve the Union, and help stabilize the world in the 19th century and the 20th century, and certainly what we've done to protect the American people in the 21st century with the 9/11 war is a tremendous sacrifice by our veterans, yes, to be sure, and a grateful nation. Thank you.
That's absolutely right, and you all empower all of us, the rest of us. General, what's your take on the changes at the Pentagon? How does this change the agenda?
Well, I think people are wringing their hands about this and looking for some kind of conspiracy here that by the Trump administration. But, you know, for our audience to understand, on January the 19th, about 70 days from now, if there's a transition to a Biden administration, every single political appointee in government will leave their office never to return. And in the Pentagon, that will certainly take place as well. And it'll take months to get new political appointees into their positions. But the Pentagon is the most resilient and most robust organization in the United States government. Why is that? Because of the uniformed services, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the Joint Chiefs and all of our combatant commanders around the world and all the commanders that work for all of them remain in place. There's no political transition for them. So this is an organization that is very stable, even though we're going through a major political transition.
What about Joe Biden's potential plans, General? Biden told Fox News that he has several executive orders ready to sign on day one, should he assume the presidency. Among them, he says he'll rejoin the United States into the Paris Climate Accords, reinstate DACA. He'll rejoin the World Health Organization. There's also some conversation that perhaps he will get the United States back into the Iran deal. What are your thoughts?
Well, some of that is largely symbolic in the sense of the WHO and certainly the Paris Climate Accord to demonstrate to the world that this administration is concerned about multilateralism. They're going to participate in organizations, even though these organizations are less than perfect. So I think that's what that is about. The nuclear deal, I think, first of all, the Biden administration will likely accept the strategic framework that President Trump and his team established. Big power competition, China the number one threat, Russia also a major threat, regional threats in North Korea and Iran. And I think they will buy into that. How they deal with that in terms of their tone will be different. A little bit more conciliatory, I suspect, towards President Xi, and not so much interested in trade deals and using tariffs to impose them. And probably a little tougher tone dealing with the Russians than we currently are using now. But when it comes to Iran, I think you put your finger on it. If this new administration is going to blunder, it will be over Iran. And it will be not recognizing how much has happened since the nuclear deal was first formed in 2015. Iran's behavior, taking a windfall of money, $150 billion, has gotten worse. And that is why we have the peace deals taking place in the Middle East between the Arabs and the Israelis. This is an area where Biden team, if they just do the knee-jerk reaction and get back into the nuclear deal, it may be a serious strategic blunder.
This is a really important point. We only have 20 seconds here, General, but in terms of those peace deals in the Middle East, do you think they come to a halt? Should that happen? I mean, we were all talking about other countries joining United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and of course Sudan now is the latest.
Well, those deals would not have taken place without the aggressiveness of the United States and particularly President Trump in wanting them to take place and bringing the parties together. Some of them took well over a year in negotiations. The American people weren't privy to that because they wanted these things done in secret and privacy. It depends on the Biden administration's commitment to establishing a broad coalition in the Middle East that's willing to stand up against the Iranians. If they're going to appease the Iranians, likely these deals are not going to take place. It remains to be seen.
All right. We'll be watching that. It's real important. And also want to talk to you next time about the defense budget and whether or not you think it'll get cut. General, it's great to see you this morning, sir. Thank you.
The reason why they're addressing the stability of the Pentagon is that what's gone on over decades is that the Pentagon spending and the budget has been growing and growing and growing, and perhaps it didn't grow under Obama, and I don't think it did. But Trump has grown it back to a level that that they're re-equipping our military. It's justified because they were getting really low on ammunition and everything. So Trump has re-equipped the military, and in doing so, the Pentagon and all those people there rely on those contracts. Now, what has happened, though, is that Catherine Austin Fitz, over the years, has injected into this of billions, if not trillions, of money missing. And some of it responsible. The Pentagon is responsible. So the gang, so to speak, that won't Trump out the door, he disrupted, in my opinion, the plundering of our treasury. And I think the Pentagon, through that process, is responsible, as some of the upper level, top level people are. So that's why they all gang together and said, get rid of Trump. He's stopping our spending and the plundering through these contractual agreements of millions, if not billions, and maybe into the trillions. And so they all came together, and they want to usher him out the door. That's why they're talking about the stability. And Esper was against his policies of using the military for an insurrection declaration. And Trump has always wanted, in the back of his mind, has wanted to use that to establish order. And several presidents, all presidents in the past have used that Insurrection Act to reestablish when you have severe riots and upheaval, civil unrest, rioting and so forth. The Insurrection Act means that the president can go in and put troops in the area and reestablish order. And the Pentagon under Esper even made an announcement that he wasn't going along with that. And they were rioting in multiple cities and burning down all kinds of businesses. And this was unconscionable from the Secretary of Defense, Esper, to even make those declarations. But now with his firing and then the replacement of some of the other people, he's trying to reform it. But unless Trump gets command people changed out, then he's not going to have the support of the Pentagon, I'm afraid, for any future insurrection act that he might be contemplating. But anyway, that's the way I see it right now. Next, we have Sidney Powell interviewed by Lou Dobbs. And she's stating that this Dominion company, Election Systems, had really major problems in perhaps altering the final count. And she also elaborates a little bit about it having been used, and it would be back for helping Hugo Chavez. In other words, what she's saying is that these programs, I think Hammer and Scorecard, were created, and you know, previously to alter election results overseas. And she insinuates and states on there that these systems that Dominion was involved in now were used overseas and possibly in Venezuela to bring Hugo Chavez to power. So here we go with this really insightful interview, Lou Dobbs and Sidney Powell.
Breaking news now. Dominion voting systems say they categorically deny any and all of President Trump's claims that their voting machines caused any voter fraud in key swing states or electoral fraud. But reports contradict that claim. In 2016, a senior executive at Dominion told the Illinois State Board of Elections that it is possible to bypass their election system software. Here's what the vice president of engineering at Dominion at that time, Eric Coomer, told the board during a meeting in good old Cook County.
No, we are not allowed to do routine updates without having to go through a recertification effort, but we do routinely give guidance on how to best secure systems. And also going back again to the final mitigation against all of this is a robust audit and canvassy process, which all of our jurisdictions have implemented.
Coomer said no updates can be done without recertification, as you heard. Mr. Coomer's assurances of a secure system, however, are contradicted by the fact that various vendors, election officials, and others reportedly can access the voting machine code without an update being required. And we know that there were updates on those machines a day before the election. Well, joining us tonight is Sidney Powell, a member of President Trump's legal team, General Flynn's defense attorney, a great American and prominent appellate lawyer. Great to have you with us, Sidney. Let's start with Dominion. A straight-out disavowal of any claim of fraud against the company, its software or machines. Your reaction?
Well, I can hardly wait to put forth all the evidence we have collected on Dominion, starting with the fact it was created to produce altered voting results in Venezuela for Hugo Chavez and then shipped internationally to manipulate votes for purchase in other countries, including this one. It was funded by money from Venezuela and Cuba, and China has a role in it also. So if you want to talk about foreign election interference, we certainly have it now. We have staggering statistical evidence. We have staggering testimony from witnesses, including one who was personally in briefings when all of this was discussed and planned, beginning with Hugo Chavez and how it was designed there, and then saw it happening in this country. As soon as the state shut down on election night and stopped counting, those are the states where the most egregious problems occurred. We also need to look at, and we're beginning to collect evidence on the financial interests of some of the governors and secretaries of state who actually bought into the Dominion systems, surprisingly enough. Hunter Biden-type graft to line their own pockets by getting a voting machine in that would either make sure their election was successful or they got money for their family from it.
Well, that's straightforward. It may take you're going to have to be quick to go through and to produce that investigation and the results of it. The December deadlines are approaching for electors, and just as we saw in 2000 with Bush v. Gore, how critical are those deadlines, and how urgent does that make your investigation and discovery?
Well, for fraud this serious, I think even if the states are stupid enough to go ahead and certify the votes where we know the machines were operating and producing altered election results, if they're stupid enough to do that, then they will be set aside by the fraud also. I mean, we are talking about hundreds of thousands of votes. President Trump won this election in a landslide. It's going to be irrefutable, and patriots are coming forward every day, all day, faster than we can collect their information with the testimony they're willing to give under oath about how their votes were stolen and how the machines operated. They were updated the night of the election, sometimes after the election. We've got statistical evidence that shows hundreds of thousands of votes being just put in and replicated. There needs to be a massive criminal investigation, and it's going to affect millions of voters and elections.
With these allegations, these charges, is the FBI already carrying out an investigation of these voting companies where their servers are domiciled? And in at least three instances, we know they're in foreign countries. Tell us where the Justice Department is in all of this.
I wish I knew. I'm not on the inside, so I'm not privy to that information. I know that even Democratic senators and congresspeople for years have reported problems with this system to the FBI and to the government, and nobody's done a blooming thing about it. The people in the election security part of Department of Homeland Security need to be fired yesterday. They're absolutely ridiculous. Of course, Chris Wray needs to be fired, too, because the only FBI interview of any witness was to intimidate him and try to get him to change his truthful testimony 4 hours by an anti-Trump FBI agent. They still have politics infecting the FBI instead of just following the law. We are on the precipice of this is essentially a new American revolution. And anybody who wants this country to remain free needs to step up right now. These are federal felonies. Altering a vote or changing a ballot is a federal felony. People need to come forward now and get on the right side of this issue and report the fraud they know existed in Dominion voting systems, because that's what it was created to do. It was its sole original purpose. It has been used all over the world to defy the will of people who wanted freedom.
Cindy, at the outset of this broadcast, I said that this is the culmination of what has been over a four-year effort to overthrow this president, to first deny his candidacy the election, but then to overthrow his presidency. This looks like the effort to carry out an end game in the effort against him. Do you concur?
Oh, absolutely. And it's been organized and conducted with the help of Silicon Valley people, the big tech companies, the social media companies, and even the media companies. And I'm going to release the Kraken.
Well, good, because this is an extraordinary and such a dangerous moment in our history. I really am very concerned for the country. I am very concerned for all Americans. And I have a feeling that most Democrats are first Americans and not Democrats. They have to be as alarmed as any one of us. Cindy, we're glad that you are on the charge to straighten out all of this. It is a foul mess, and it is far more sinister than any of us could have imagined, even over the course of the past 4 years. You get the last word, Cindy.
It is indeed a very foul mess. It is farther and wider and deeper than we ever thought, but we are going to go after it, and I am going to expose every one of them.
Cindy Powell, thanks for being with us, and thanks for all that you're doing.
Adding credence to what Cindy Powell testified during this interview with Lou Dobbs about Venezuela being helped by some of these same software and election processing systems, was that in 1998 and 1999, BBVA Bank out of Bilbao, Spain, contributed to the Hugo Chavez campaign secretly, but they got caught later. And I'll put that article up that confirms this on our site, thesecrettruth.com. But anyway, BBVA Bank out of Bilbao, Spain, contributed to the Hugo Chavez campaign over a two-year period, $1.5 million, and they got caught. And there was a Spanish investigation, and I think there was some wrongdoing punished. I think it was mostly fined and things like that. So it was more of a slap on the wrist. But why I bring this up is that what we're undergoing is a transformation of the United States of America into a communist state. But this hasn't happened in just since BLM and all these other problems have occurred. This has been going on for decades, and our school system, cultural Marxism, is a concept that's been taught on a wide basis. So our young people have been indoctrinated with the problem of capitalism can be overcome with communism. And so they've been taught to be socialist at a minimum, and the more radical ones have become radical revolutionary communists. And so that coupled with the indoctrination from K to 12 or longer of the environmental issues facing the world are being coupled together by the World Economic Forum there at Davos, Switzerland. And they're proposing a reset. And the way this reset would work is that they conceptualize and visualize a whole new economic system, see? And they're using now, everyone has been using this COVID-19 as a triggering mechanism and device to bring about this new world order, this new reset, economic reset. But what you have to remember is that these upper level groups operating and supporting things such as public-private partnerships. Now think about public-private partnerships. These have been sold to us, whether it's a Bilderberg Group meeting that advocates that or the Davos meeting there of the World Economic Forum. These types of concepts have been portrayed to us as more efficient and so forth. But let me tell you where we encountered in the 20th century those kinds of relationships. Mussolini was in partnership with the corporations of Italy on his rise to power. And also, Adolf Hitler was also the corporations in Germany at the time helped bring him to power. So the Nazi Party was in partnership, and the Fascist Party in Italy under Mussolini, they were also in partnership with these corporations. So we fast forward to Davos, and they're talking about public-private partnerships. And to me, that oozes of corporate fascism. Now, what I visualize that's happening, and I've said this before on this program, is these people, way back beginning, even before the Fabian Society, in England had a series of what they call poor laws that preceded the 1880s. And they put people in workhouses and things. This was a model so-called to help the poor and get the lower income people to work, you know, and get them off the streets and all this. But it was a mechanism on how to keep them subservient, to keep them from rising up against a very dictatorial government disguised as a democracy of some kind, see. And so after that didn't work too good. Then they devised this Fabian Society, which was a slow incremental change of the UK into a socialist communist state. And now they're using this COVID-19 to accelerate that, not only in the UK, but all over the world. And so this is what we're up against now, is that the real top pyramid, you could say the capstone of this power pyramid, is a corporate fascist mechanism dominated by the money powers. And then down below them, for the peasants, they want to bring us and indoctrinate us and transform us from democratic republics into a world communist government, which would resemble taking everyone back to a plantation system of slavery. And so that, and then also they're going to couple that with a massive population reduction and a very, very strict political system. And anyone else will be done away with or purged. And so this is the danger of what the in the throes of what we're in right now. Tucker Carlson lays it out with a quote, and actually he plays a clip of Governor Cuomo. And he lays it out in a very authoritarian way. And this is what we have today, is that we have these ultra-elite globalists. They're all in on the take, usually. And they're going to bring us a new world order to reset the economy, but they're going to be our masters and tell us what to do. So we have a reordering occurring to put us all, everyone, no matter what you look back on a plantation of servitude. So here's this interview that Tucker has. Tucker gets right into the inside and exposes what's going on. Here we go now.
So if you were to somehow get inside the brain of any authoritarian, you would find that their fantasies aren't the conventional fantasies. An authoritarian fantasizes about controlling you. And coronavirus has given the perfect pretext to do that. Now they force their way into your home. You're not going to believe this story. Rick Leventhal has it for us. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tucker. For anyone in New York or California, it'll be a holiday season like no other. Two governors with similar mandates arguing the only way to slow the spread of COVID-19 is to start shutting down again. Starting this Friday night, a 10 p.m. curfew will be in effect for every bar, restaurant, gym, and liquor store in the state of New York. Restaurants can still serve food curbside for pickup or delivery, but no alcohol to go. And indoor and outdoor gatherings on your own property will be limited to no more than 10 people. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the parties are the problem, blaming them for the spike in cases, and says if the new restrictions don't slow the spread, he may shut down gyms and indoor dining altogether. And he's demanding New York City's mayor deploy the NYPD to enforce the new rules.
There are only two fundamental truths in this situation. It's individual discipline, and it's government enforcement.
And over here on the left coast, Governor Gavin Newsom has issued similar new guidelines ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. No more than three households can gather together at a time. Gatherings must be outside and last 2 hours or less. Attendees can use restrooms as long as they're frequently sanitized. And singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged. Tucker, I swear I did not make these up.
I was literally just thinking that exact same thing. Rick Leventhal has gone rogue. He's writing fake news again.
No, I didn't. I didn't do it. I'm just telling you what he said.
It's just unbelievable. So much is. Rick Leventhal, thank you for that.
Sure.
Next is Lieutenant General McInerney, and he talked about the hammer, you know what I mean, program, and the scorecard also, about how that was used to alter the results of this national election and to bring about a defeat so far of Trump. But here we go with General McInerney.
General McInerney, thank you for joining us on War and Pandemic. You've got some breaking news we got to talk about. It's one of the reasons we have Sidney Powell over here today, something very disturbing. There's been a site called America, the American Report. It's got a woman named Mary Fanning's done some incredible reporting, particularly about a guy named Dennis Montgomery. What is it, this thing that's going around about this project or this system called Hammer? Explain to our audience what this is and why it should be of such concern to people in this current situation that we're in.
Yes, I will, Steve. The fact is that Hammer is a what we call a SIGINT, a signals intelligence program that the NSA came up with years ago. The CIA picked it up under the Obama administration, and I broke it in March of 2017 about what they were doing on the Russian hoax. But the fact is, the Obama administration took this system and they put in an application in this SIGINT program called Scorecard. And Scorecard changes both at a certain point in the voting stream. And if I can, and by the way, the Obama administration used it in the 2012 election in Florida. And so both Obama and Biden are very familiar with this. Now, I've got to make a quote
here. Yeah.
And it's important that we all understand it. It's by Joseph Stalin. I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how. But what is extraordinarily important is this. Who will count the votes? Now, Steve, we have a desperate Democratic Party that will do anything to bring the country to a totalitarian state and as far left as they want. They used it in the primaries, and Bernie lost to Biden because they used it in the primaries. So it is ready to go. I just found out about this yesterday. Sydney has played a very important role in assisting me and Mary Fanning and Alan Jones and trying to get the word out so the American people know all this enthusiasm you're talking about in Pennsylvania gets changed very quickly with this software program that switches 3% of the vote.
Hang on for a second. General McInerney, I want you to give just quickly your bona fides. Talk just briefly. Give me a minute for the audience on your career.
Okay, 35 years in the Air Force. I ended up the number three man in the Air Force in the headquarters. I had four tours in Vietnam. I commanded the raid on Tripoli in 1986. We attacked Tripoli from my headquarters in England. I was then the Vice Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Air Forces Europe, and then the Commander of Alaskan Command and Alaska NORAD region. So I had a very extensive operational career, and I'm in the cloud business now, and that's why I'm so intimately familiar with what Hammer and Scorecard can do, and nobody knows it.
You're one of the most revered officers in the U.S. Air Force, an unbelievable career. I want to go to Hammer. Hammer was the single most important and the single most sophisticated, basically, system that came up after 9/11 for really intelligence or counterintelligence about radical Islamic jihad and the ability to monitor that. Is that how the beginning of this started? Was a foreign surveillance system that allowed the national security and intelligence apparatus to watch our enemies. Is that how this thing started?
That's how it started, Steve. Very sophisticated, very, very capable. And the fact it was then adopted with the software packages like on your iPhone to the voting business, and it was to be used, and it was used in foreign countries, and so. It was then moved over into the CIA, and they started looking at U.S. citizens. That is illegal. The CIA cannot look at U.S. citizens, and only the FBI with the proper FISA warrants, et cetera. Sydney knows all about this. You know all about this. And it is extremely important that this was taken out of the CIA when the Obama administration left. They used some Kabuki to get it out. They still have it up and running. We know where it is located. We know it's active tonight. It's active. They've been looking at a whole host of things, as has the DNC, using false IPs, and they are looking around, and they are trying to set up this voting thing that happens on Tuesday night. It's going to look good for President Trump, but they're going to change. And that's the danger that America and everybody must realize.
I just want to mention, we got about 2 minutes here. In the next segment, Sydney and I are going to drill down on this a little bit more, and we're going to talk about some polling other things, but hopefully get you back before the end. Dennis Montgomery. The last time the audience heard about Dennis Montgomery, he was being rounded up at his house. He had 47 hard drives, I think, he had taken from Fort Meade. How does Dennis Montgomery fit into this story?
He's a genius, and he loves America. Dennis invented him. Dennis invented Scorecard. He's the programmer that made all this happen, and he's on our side. And at great personal risk, as well as he hasn't benefited financially from it. He is an absolute genius. And so he's extremely important to what's going on. It would have happened in 2016, Steve, except something happened to it that night when the Obama crowd and the Democrats tried to use it. I can't talk about that.
Dennis Montgomery is like the character Nash in Beautiful Mind. I mean, this is one of the smartest programmers ever. He wrote this incredibly sophisticated program. And that's why this event in August of 2015, when he was basically gathered up and he had the 47 hard drives. Heck, we got one hard drive from Hunter, and we're still going through information. He did this, as we now know, he did this to essentially save his country and expose what's going on. What was he trying to expose, and what should the American people know today on the eve of this election that 250 flag officers sent a letter to President Trump, said it's the most important, including my old boss, Tom Hayward, who said it's the most important election in the history of the republic. What is Montgomery trying to tell us? What is the message we need to hear today?
Well, he's telling us right now, Steve, that we are on the verge of being compromised through cyber warfare, of which he is a master of, the most brilliant person in our country on cyber warfare, and they have used this. They moved it from the intelligence, a very highly secure program, and they've moved it from there over to political treachery, and that's what it is. When they moved it out of the CIA, they moved it for their political use, as they have politicized the intelligence community, as we saw in the Russian hoax, and what they've done to General Flynn. All these things are on this force that you and Sidney have been talking about that want to change America from what it is. It goes back to the Electoral College, to the Supreme Court. All these things are bundled to change America from being a democratic republic to a totalitarian regime. That means a socialist country, which the next step is communism. And that's why there can be no agreement between this Democratic Party and the Republican Party. One choice is freedom, one choice is communism. It's that simple.
You going to be able to stop Hammer and Scorecard?
We intend to stop Hammer and Scorecard.
Sidney Powell says it. It's take that to the bank, okay? Future FBI Director Sidney Powell. Can't wait for the confirmation hearings.
Hey, I'd like to say what Leslie Anderson said. Have faith, pray, and let's all meet at the pass tomorrow night.
What is it, stick to the plan or whatever it is? Let's blow some heads up right now, okay?
This interview was done before the election. Now, there's all kinds of narratives coming out that there's no such thing as Hammer and Scorecard, and all that is just a hoax, and it's a conspiratorial theory. But you heard General McNerney state specifically what and how it came about. But also, he said they tried to use this scorecard to alter the 2016, but for some reason they couldn't get it to work. So maybe some loyal patriots stopped them from using that, and as a result, we got an honest election, and Trump was elected in 2016. So that could very well have been the reason why Trump did get in, but on a fair election. But now we're up against a very, very tenacious opponent, and there's the problem of trying to secure, I would say, enough information and evidence that you can get a fair ruling in a court of law to further stop the further counting or stop the certification until such a trial or evidence was presented that could overturn some of these elections. And right now, I'm not too optimistic. The way there's so much corruption in this country now that they want Trump out. He got in their way. And they want to go back to plundering the economy and plundering the treasury. So that's the way I see it right now. This is an interview that I picked up that Larry Klayman had with Dennis Montgomery. And Dennis Montgomery is at the heart of this Hammer system and that scorecard program that General McNerney just stated that he was behind. So this was the first program that Larry Klayman had who was the original founder of Judicial Watch with Dennis Montgomery. And listen to this. This will really open up your minds. Here we go right now.
Here's Larry.
Welcome. This is Larry Klainman. We're bringing to you our first show, Special Prosecutor with yours truly, Larry Klainman. I'm the founder of both Judicial Watch and now Freedom Watch. I'm currently the chairman and general counsel of Freedom Watch. I'm a trial lawyer. I'm an investigator. I'm someone that digs up corruption in government and brings it to a conclusion. I'm seeking remedies. So each week, you're going to hear things that nobody's heard before, either on television or on radio. This is new information, information that will help our country be made great again, in the words of President Trump, and in my own words, to bring the country back to the vision of our founding fathers. So I hope that you'll tune in. Go to our website at freedomwatchusa.org, and you can see the cases and investigations that we've been working on. First up is Dennis Montgomery, client NSA-CIA whistleblower, someone who has more information about the illegal surveillance on the American people by our government than even Edward Snowden. He confirmed that President Trump was being wiretapped. He confirmed that the Chief Justice of the United States, other justices, 156 other judges, even yours truly, was subject to illegal surveillance, and you were too. So it's very important that you hear what he has to say, because we're fighting in the courts to return our country to the vision of the founding fathers. Now, Dennis, you have to be careful about what you say, because this stuff is in front of the FBI right now. They haven't been doing anything for 2 years, and we're pressing on them to do it. I don't want you to get into anything that's classified. I've never seen it. But I want you to explain to the American people exactly why what you provided is so important and why it needs to be investigated and why we cannot depend on either the intelligence agencies or the intelligence committees in Congress to do the job. Why, in fact, if this egg is going to be cracked and fried, and it needs to be fried, frankly, it's going to be people like you that do it. Dennis, tell your story quickly.
Well, I was a CIA contractor both under John Brennan and later under James Clapper. And these individuals were running domestic surveillance programs in the United States, collecting information on Americans. Now, this isn't political. They were collecting information on Republicans and Democrats. But they collected everything they could find, bank accounts, phone numbers, chats, emails, and they collected a massive amount of it under the Obama administration. Now, I came forward years ago to bring this information to the people that these surveillance programs were not just being run on foreign surveillance, they were being run on domestic surveillance. When James Clapper says there was no surveillance in 2013 when he came before Congress, That is the tipping point by which Snowden said, I've had enough, and took up the information and left. I've been doing this whistleblowing because I think it's important to all Americans to understand how much of this data was collected and how it's being used as leverage against people.
Now, Dennis, the intelligence agencies have tried to destroy you, have they not?
Yes, in 2000, they leaked false information about me in 2009 and 2011 to the press to discredit me in case their domestic surveillance programs ever came public.
And they used a reporter of the New York Times by the name of James Risen, who wrote a book, Pay Any Price, to also destroy your reputation. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. James Risen was after the Bush administration and wanted anything on the Bush administration he could find to hurt George Bush and his administration. Well, somebody leaked my name to him, saying about my work for the government didn't work and so forth, which is ridiculous. My work saved lives. Millions of people were probably saved because of the work I was doing.
Well, you can see how they're trying to destroy the Trump administration right now, so it's no secret that they tried to destroy a whistleblower like you. And James Risen wrote this book, Pay Any Price. We've sued him in court. It's now on appeal to the district court and the circuit court in Washington, D.C. Risen came up with information that a software that you developed supposedly was the biggest hoax in American history, in effect. Obviously, that's incorrect. This is exactly what's happening in Washington today. Anybody that comes forward with truth or challenges the powers to be, these very powerful intelligence agencies get destroyed.
James Risen was leaked false information, and he was so much in a hurry to report it that he reported it not understanding that his sources were unreliable. His sources were giving him false information. They were giving him fake news. And he didn't even bother checking whether the news was accurate or not. He just wanted to hurt the Bush administration, so he spun this tale. And he knew I could not respond to his articles because I was under a U.S. protective or gag order on me saying I couldn't respond to anything. And I had the state secrets privilege filed against me that if I would have violated, I would have been charged with treason under the U.S. Espionage Act. So anybody could say anything, and I had no ability to respond to it because the government had a gag order on me.
And Dennis, you know that I brought you forward to the Federal Bureau of Investigation at the highest levels, just under Director James Comey. We were working through his general counsel, James Baker, two special agents, Walter Giardina and William Barnett, who interviewed you for 2 to 3 hours. Is that correct?
Yeah, they not only interviewed me, I was given, as you well know, no questions in advance. I answered all of their questions. I never took the fifth at any time. I never left the room and said, let me talk to my attorney about the questions. You were there. I answered every single question that they asked me without hesitation. I have put my family for years at great risk by coming forward. It's been very difficult on me and my family. Obviously, I went through a health crisis a number of years ago. I felt so...
Well, you have a brain aneurysm, right? You could die at any time.
That's correct. I suffered multiple strokes in 2014, and after months of being in the hospital, I went to Washington, D.C. and met with the judge there to explain what was going on.
That was Judge Royce Lamberth, who put us in touch with the FBI.
I provided him information of massive domestic surveillance, specifically of Article III judges, which seemed to be a primary target of these domestic surveillance because they were looking for information on judges to be able to use it against them as leverage.
Judge Lamberth is a great patriot as well.
Absolutely.
And we thank him, and he was instrumental in having me make the contacts to get you immunity. That interview that you gave was videotaped, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a videotaped deposition, and I laid out these private domestic surveillance programs that were being run. I specifically named names, James Clapper and John Brennan. When James Clapper and John Brennan said in 2013 we're absolutely not doing any domestic surveillance, it was outright lies. They know I had the data that we had collected, so they know that they had to destroy my reputation because if the data gets out, it's pretty hard to argue the data. 600 million pages is a lot of data.
That interview took place about 2 years ago, you remember?
Yeah, it took place in December 2015.
And I've asked the FBI to preserve that information. Now, I myself am skeptical about the FBI because they do similar surveillance, don't they? I mean, they send drones over neighborhoods. They grab everybody's phone call, even if they're just looking for one person. And is it possible that maybe they're covering this up because they may be culpable as well?
I think that they've been involved in as much as the CIA and everybody. In fact, on the data that I provided them, it shows that the FBI servers were breached by the CIA at least 7 times over 6 years. Why would the CIA be breaching the FBI computers? I'll tell you why. Because they were interested in finding out if there were ongoing criminal investigations going on into their own actions.
You've heard the allegations of President Trump that he's wiretapped. Is that credible? Is that plausible?
Absolutely. In fact, I provided to the FBI 17 businesses of Donald Trump, including the Trump Tower, the Trump leasing programs, all of these different programs, and including Trump himself and the various family members that had been wiretapped under these programs. I started by going to Maricopa County and showing that Sheriff Arpaio himself was wiretapped under the Obama administration.
Well, this is important, Dennis, and the FBI is sitting on it. I'm doing my role in having the government do its job, having others press on the FBI to do its job. But we know that Director Comey is playing both sides of the street, and frankly, most people don't believe he's telling the truth. And it's very unfortunate because he had a good reputation before, but he's apparently ruining it these days. And frankly, no one on the intelligence committees can be trusted. Do you think they can be? I don't think they can.
No, in fact, Representative Nunes came out recently saying that there was no credible evidence that Trump Tower had been wiretapped. I find that amazing, considering I have both contacted Representative Nunes and said I would be more than willing to supply you information proving that they had, and that there's so much mass surveillance data that has been taking place. I mean, there's been a wiretap on Trump for years.
The problem here is that people like you are not listened to, and we're making sure that you will be listened to. We have to open this nut. We have to crack the nut, because in my view, and you give me your views, I think the future of this nation hangs in the balance. When, as Judge Leon ruled in our case against the NSA, where we preliminarily enjoined it two times, that this is an Orwellian state that we live in, Big Brother, where these agencies have the ability to coerce and blackmail, where there are power even higher than the President of the United States. This President is barricaded in the White House right now, in effect. Everything is against him. They're trying to destroy him. And it's only someone like you, Dennis, telling the truth under the appropriate circumstances and having the FBI and others do their job by looking at the information you provided, that we ever have any chance of survival. That's my view. So thank you, Dennis, for your service. You are a patriot, and the American people have to recognize that. And they
will. Stroke or no stroke, I am going to expose the CIA and NSA misdeeds until the American people know the truth.
Thank you, Dennis, for your time. God bless you. This is Special Prosecutor Larry Klayman. We'll be right back.
This interview that you just heard was conducted by Larry Klayman with Dennis Montgomery in 2017. And so they tried to bring out these mechanisms that they've been using back then. But they've been up against the same machine and the deep state that President Trump has been up against. And it's functioning to continue to exert its power and influence and dominance, I should say, and not to be under any kind of any pall or cast of darkness or wrongdoing. But it functions in a way that is money-driven, see. And so the old choice in the Bible said, you have two gods before thee, God or mammon, and you must choose one or the other. And what has happened in this world today is that beginning in about 1600s, when the money system began to be formalized in with banks in Venice and Italy itself, and then that moved on to the mainland, and then on over to the United Kingdom, and then the British system, and all these banks started creating a tremendous amount of wealth, and the concentration of wealth manifesting in mammon, on wealth itself, and then the love of that has been built up to such an extent that we cannot even begin to reach people because the goddamn money, so to speak, is overriding everything. And the love of wealth, as the Bible says, is the demise of goodness in mankind. And that's really what we're up against today in this world. It has become the predominant, paramount drive of most people. And they'll sell their souls for a dollar. And with the American system evolving to a state where there's billions involved in contractual agreements, and especially arms dealings through the Pentagon and everything, then what Catherine Alton Fitz has said about all this money missing must be true. And I think Trump's work was going, it was in that direction of exposing some massive wrongdoing at the top levels. And that's why all of these people, if you'll notice, and there's Pentagon generals and everybody else, top former cabinet members, former governors, former presidents, all those people have been on the take, in on the take. And so they have a lot to be fearful of any future, you could say, indictments and so forth that might be forthcoming. So they've banded together and pretty well have gotten rid of Trump up to this point, unless he can really come back with some strong evidence that's irrefutable about these programs that were used to change the results of this national election of this 2020 national election. And boy, he's up against quite a struggle there. Now today in Washington D.C., just to end up this program in the last 4 or 5 minutes, there was a great awakening of hundreds of thousands of people. Someone said 100,000 people. I wouldn't doubt that figure. We'll get more greater accurate estimates later. But they were so scattered in some places, but they marched from Freedom Park to the Supreme Court building. And there were virtually thousands of people with their colors and their Trump flags and everything else. And even Trump, when he was going out on an excursion from the White House, with his convoy drove through the Patriots, and they waved at him, and they were thrilled to see their president, driving through. There were different broadcasts, Rupli, which is the Russians that were in there. I put up two or three different live broadcasts on my Twitter, on our Twitter, and it's called Secret Truth Show. And go in there and click on those. I think they'll save those, where you can review those on demand. But all of these former staff members that were working, you could say, for Trump have come back in, And they're criticizing him for delaying the Biden transition. And they're using every mechanism they can to defeat Trump. Now, Alex Jones has gone up there. He helped organize this. And Owen Schroyer is up there. Many of the other patriots from the East Coast, the surrounding areas, and even some people traveled in there, flew in there to be part of this rally, you could say. It's a Trump rally, or it's a rally for freedom and democracy and the republic, democratic republic. And it's working out pretty well. I haven't read any incidences of violence or anything else. I think the Antifa and Black Lives Matter, I think they stayed away from this rally because there were virtually 100,000 or more people in that. So I think and thank goodness they didn't come in and cause any problems to this. But, the fellow that owns MyPillow.com, he spoke at one. They had a couple of different podiums set up, so a little bit hard to follow. And then Alex Jones gave an impassioned speech, and he was one of the main, motivators in getting people there because of his millions of listeners for his program, Infowars.com. So these people came together, they got up, they told the other followers there, and it went out to millions of people over several dozen, I would say, probably different live streams that people had put up. And so they got the word out that they're there, they're willing to support President Trump. And that's what President Trump needs, is he needs a show of confidence in him. And whether he wins this election or not, there's 70 million people that voted for him. So that's quite an influential voting bloc. Now, what we've got to be careful about in this COVID-19 is not to go for any more lockdowns. Lockdowns have not been proved effective in stopping this, and we must not give in to that whatsoever. And to any lockdowns whatsoever. I want to thank each and every one of you for viewing this or listening to this program. And God bless each and every one of you. Good night.